Welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of the Banded About podcast series. My guest today was first inspired to play the harmonica when she saw Matt Taylor's band Western Flyer play in the 70s. Although she was keen to learn how to play, the pre-internet days made it difficult and eventually her enthusiasm waned. In 2019, she joined her first serious band. Prior to this, she'd mainly played with friends in people's lounges and at open mics. But before I introduce today's guest, it's first time for me to play the Banded About theme song, which was written and recorded for the Banded About podcast series by the very talented Catherine Lambert and Michael Mitzi Bryant. It is my immense pleasure to welcome Karen Pater. Welcome, Karen, and thank you for making time to chat with me today.
Hello, Di. Thank you. This is a wonderful resource, the old podcast. It's fantastic. It's good to be here.
Okay, Karen, let's start from the beginning. Where were you born?
Sydney.
Okay. And what part of Sydney did you live in?
We grew up in the western suburbs at first. Dad worked at Tip Top Bakeries in Fairfield. So we lived in Fairfield. And then we moved around a bit. Dad was a technician, radio and television technician and instrument technician. Mum was a seamstress. We all went back to Holland with Dad when I was 12 from Sydney. And fortunately, 6 weeks later, Dad couldn't cope with the Holland scene and the memories it brought back for him of the war. So we migrated back to Australia and our furniture was still on the wharf because the wharfies had a strike. So all our stuff was still there. And that was in 1972, showing my age now. Yeah, Sydney. And then we moved to Perth when I was 14 and that was amazing. That opened up the music scene for me because as I got older, I liked to get out and watch music. Perth, Western Australia.
Karen, did either of your parents or anybody else in your family come from a musical background?
Yes, my father very much so. His father was a jazz guitarist in Holland. His father came from Curaçao, which is the Netherlands Antilles, north of South America. Of course, my opa, he migrated to Holland just before the war. Met my grandma, my oma. Every weekend, the house was full of music. They'd all come back after a gig and all the jazz musicians in his band would come and have a jam and get up to all sorts of shenanigans in the house. And I don't think Omar was very approving, but yeah, there was music in the family for sure. And while I was growing up, Dad put a guitar in my hands, which I tried to play, but I was a child, I think wasn't really that focused. And music has always been in our family because of the record player we had, a vinyl playing nearly all the time, and Mum and Dad would dance together and embarrass us. We definitely have the music in our DNA.
Lovely. Did you study music when you attended school?
No. I'm a play-by-ear musician, so I'm finding it quite a challenge to learn now, but loving it. Didn't study music as a child, though.
Okay. Karen, what was your first job?
When I was at school, I worked for a photography company in Hendricks, they were called, in Perth, Western Australia, just as a shop assistant, really, and then also Kmart Saturday morning. Kmart, I was in the auto section, but that was enough for my train fare to the beach so I could go for a surf on Sunday.
You've already mentioned that you enjoyed going out to see bands.
Yes.
I believe that it was Matt Taylor that initially inspired you to play the harmonica.
Absolutely, yes. It just blew me away, like literally. His stage presence and the way he would put forward his poetry, he actually told a story about where he grew up in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane. I just love the rawness of it and the sound. He used that instrument like it was his voice. I was blown away. I couldn't believe how I was transported by his music. Yeah, loved it. Loved it.
And you went to see him play with his band Western Flyer.
That's right. Yes, Western Flyer. And then also with the Dave Hull band. He also played with Phil Manning. With Matt, we'd all get together socially afterwards and I picked up the harmonica and I just started to play it and he just looked at me and he said, I think you should keep going with that. And I thought, well, if he thinks I should, then, you know, no one sort of told me to go away. It was just easy for me. One of those things, I picked it up and I could play and I liked that. But then, of course, I plateaued out. I got stuck on just the blues and wanted to do more. I had a lot of issues around anxiety and depression and I found, and I still do to this day, when I pick up my harmonica and start to play, all my worries and all my anxiety just melts away. But leading up to a gig, I'm always a bit angsty. People say to me that that's a good thing and I think, yeah, it must be. So it's really been a beneficial tool for me.
Well, yes, you're right. Music is very good for your mental and physical health and it's great exercise for your lungs.
That's right. Yes, a lot of focus on that, and I do yoga as well, so that element has been a huge part of, you know, being able to just ward off a panic attack or anything like that. I can just, yeah, it's like a big balm, a medicine for me, really, yeah.
Wonderful.
It's been amazing. Oh, Di, it's amazing. I'm just so excited because last night I was online looking at all the different people that I really admire. One of them is Indiara Sfair. That's S-F-A-I-R. She has got the playing style that I would like to emulate. I saw her stuff years ago before I was in a full-time working band, but I thought, nah, I could never play like that. Well, last night I sat down and I could.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I thought, well, if I keep practicing, like in the past I've rested on my laurels with the natural talent and just sat on it, but now it's time to really blossom. I've got the time. I've made the time for myself. I've just recently retired from nursing. My focus is now with the music and with the band, all these wonderful things. You know, on the internet, I was a bit of a Luddite with the internet, but now it's like having these experts in your lounge room teaching you how to play. And, yeah, I think I was just really amazed last night and on a bit of a music high because I could actually follow along and do it without missing much. And that will carry through to the band that I'm in at the moment as well. It's really good.
That's great.
To mention having a very supportive partner, he's always encouraging me to sit down and do it. He's a musician as well, plays keyboard, jazz, funk. We get together and play jazz, funk quite a bit, and I use a different harmonica for that. It's not just a blues style that I do. It's also crossover jazz, funk. I use a 12-hole for that and also my chromatic harmonica. So there's all these different styles of harmonicas and different tunings that you can get, which is amazing. So it's an exciting time, especially as a harmonica player, because of all the different styles of harmonicas and amplifiers and also microphones that are specifically for blues, harp or harmonica playing. Yeah.
Excellent. You spent many years jamming with friends and playing at open mics, didn't you?
That's right, yes.
And it was only in 2019 that you joined your first serious band, wasn't it?
Good old River Rats.
How did that happen?
Well, I was trying out or playing with a different group. They were called Billy Goat Boogie. They've disbanded now, but they were on the south coast here on the Fleurieu Peninsula. And one of the players, a lead guitarist, a very good player, he plays slide guitar as well, Michael Porter, he said, because we could feel that this band wasn't going to work out, he said, would you like to come and try out, you know, just meet these guys and we'll have a jam and see how we go. And that was the River Rats of Gary Searle and Paul Crark, who Gary's a drummer and vocals. Paul Crark is a bass guitar player. So I went there. Michael was just, they were just forming then. They were looking for a harmonica player because at that time we focused mainly on blues, which has now expanded into all sorts of different genres. Yeah, and they've kept me. They didn't sort of sack me or anything. They just said, okay, are you ready for gigs? And I just said yes. And with what little experience I have had in a band, I've learned so much in the meantime. And I signed up for a course with TAFE and was accepted, but it was a long way away. That was the trouble. It was in Adelaide and I choose to live down here. And being full-time, I would have been going up and down to Adelaide 4 or 5 times a week. And so I pulled out of that and the boys just simply said, we'll teach you everything you know. And boy, has that been the truth, especially on stage presentation and promotion as well, which I really like that side of it too. There's so much in a band that goes on behind the scenes that I wasn't really aware of.
Yes, you're right. There's definitely a lot of work behind the scenes required before you even get to the event.
Yes, yes. And my partner, Paul, he said he's got a sales background. He said you might put out 100 of your bio introduction letter and you'll get probably 10 bites and out of that you'll probably get 1 gig. Mm. Not to be disheartened, just keep knocking on the doors. And we've been doing that and we're busy. We've got lots of gigs booked. So we have been playing even through COVID. We were fortunate because it didn't affect us because we had outdoor gigs booked. We only had 1 gig cancelled, I think.
I was going to ask you how COVID impacted the band.
We decided we'll just go for the outdoor gigs and we got them. We were very lucky, very fortunate, yeah.
In 2021, your band, The River Rats, released an EP titled Hold On.
That's right. Yes, we did. The songs were written by both Gary Searle and Paul Krutt. We've got a song called Wildflower and that was number 3 on the, I can't remember.
Australian National Radio Airplay Project Regional Charts.
And rap. Thank you. Wow.
I wrote that one down.
Wow. Yes, we got number 3 and a lot of stations all over Australia played it. What a wonderful organisation that is. It just giving the musicians more exposure and recognition. It's wonderful. So, yeah, we had lots of listens and plays for that. We've sold quite a few of our CDs and even though we're on Spotify, we still sell probably at least 6 each gig of the CDs.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and we've got merchandise. One of the band members, oh, both of them, Gary and Paul's wives, Gary's wife Jude and then Anna Crark, Paul's wife, they both make all the merchandise. Like they'll buy T-shirts and you see the people in the crowd, they wear the merch and they'll come to the gig with the merch on and, you know, we've got quite a solid following. Rent-a-party, really. The music we play appeals to people of all ages and now we've recently got a new lead guitarist, Michael Porter, stepped down and her name's Caitlin Ralton. She's in her late 20s, so she brings a different audience to our gigs now, which is really lovely, of a younger crew.
Well, it sounds like life's pretty good for you.
Very exciting times.
So what was it like when you had your very first gig with the River Rats?
There was a lot of hugs and a lot of reassurance. The first gig was on the wharf at the Barrel Shed in Goolwa near the paddle steamer Oscar. Beautiful venue. It went down so well. There were people cheering and wanting an encore and it was fantastic. It went really well. They wanted to book us again straight away.
It must have gone well then.
Yes, yes, it did. And I remember being so nervous I couldn't talk to Paul the whole way there. I can't talk to you. I can't speak. I was so nervous. Oh, what he puts up with. Oh, boy.
It's great to have a supporting partner, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. He's been very encouraging. I think during my life I've been always a bit not sure of myself and not sure if I meet their expectations, whether I can even meet my own expectations, and that's all around the mental health issue. It's all part of a recovery and a process and it's still going on and nursing was a big part of my recovery as well. It's an ongoing thing. It's every single day you go, right, today's a good day. Got a roof over my head, a lovely partner, and I've got a full kit of harmonicas and a great band, you know.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Karen, do you have a memorable gig story that you'd like to share?
A memorable story? I do, but it doesn't concern the River Rats band. It's another band I was with.
Okay.
And it was with Heather Fran and the Moonlight Tide. Now, this band was put together to represent Heather for the Deep South Roots and Blues Festival that went on. It was in the early 2000s. How I got involved with that was because I know Heather socially as a friend through music. We had some really talented musicians with that band. One of them was Michaela Berger, who's gone on to do bigger things with Edith Piaf show. She wrote a story. She's a theatre actor and musician and singer, and she plays a really good electric violin. And we played at the Gov, and that was one of my lifelong goals, is to play at the Gov. That went really well. Some really great musicians in that gig. With the River Rats, I think every gig we do is memorable. There haven't been many mishaps except for the time that I dropped all my harmonicas out of my gig bag into the sand at the Coorong Cafe. And then when I went home, I had to vacuum all the sand out of them and each one went... And I just cracked up so hard each time I'd cleaned it with the vacuum cleaner. But that's about it, really.
Sorry, that sounds hilarious.
On each different key, yes. What do they call that? Occupational hazard. The Coorong Cafe, we gig outside. They've put us on a truck now. We were just getting so much sand and hay because it's an outdoor gig and it's right on the Coorong. And the sand would blow into all the amps and the guitars. So we'd all go home and do our individual vacuuming and cleaning of all of our equipment. I think mine was the funniest because of all the noises it would make, you know.
Well, that's definitely memorable.
But nobody's thrown their underwear onto the stage or anything like that. So, one lady fell into the drum kit. She survived and so did the drums. So that's just because of an uneven dance floor, really. Addition of a few bevvies, I think, as well.
Yep, it sounds like some lubricants were responsible for that incident.
Yes, the twirl kind of kept twirling, didn't it?
Is there a band you wish you'd had the opportunity to play with?
Yeah, Heather Frayne and Moonlight Tide actually backed up Michael Franti, support act we were. They came to the Gov and played with Heather at a different gig and I couldn't play because I was rostered onto work. They had a stand-in person. So that was the gig I wished I could have played with, was Michael Franti and Spearhead. A band that I would love to play with is, I'd say, Ian Collard, but he's really good. I liked Joe Bonamassa as well.
We had Rick Mellick over, who was Joe Bonamassa's keyboardist for many years.
Ooh, where was that?
He came over in June.
Oh.
Because I was the event manager for that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Oh. How do you prepare yourself before a show?
Make sure I've got the set list and we know where we are. And we do have a stage plan when we get up, so we all know where we stand. We have weekly rehearsals. So we've got the set list. We discuss the set list beforehand, if there's any changes, if there's any key changes, because I need to know specifically what keys of harmonicas. Now, there's so many different keys in songs and there's different keys of harmonicas. A lot of people actually after a gig come up and say, I didn't realise that you had so many harmonicas and why is that? Well, basically because each song, depending on the list that we're playing, they are in different guitar keys. So for cross harp, you would use a different key than that of the song. So all of that, psychologically, I imagine the crowd and think about how I'm going to dress as well, depending on the venue. For a function, I'd probably be a bit more formal in dress. And for a pub, it would be the Levi's and the Levi shirt. You're thinking about lots of different things, your attire, attitude and the set list, making sure we're all fed and watered. Can't feed the harmonica player because I've got to eat a few hours beforehand because otherwise I'll blow chunks into my instrument. Everyone will be eating around me and I just have a T-shirt that says, please do not feed the harmonica player. It can get a bit gnarly and embarrassing. These are all the things you need to think about. Very important. Because of COVID as well, are they wearing masks? Do we put a mask on at the venue? COVID rules for that venue. I know that the Murray Delta Duke joint down here is very strict with the COVID marshalling and they do an announcement before the show as to what they require for your COVID safety. Yeah, I like it when a venue does that. So the Murray Delta Duke joint is state of the art. Beautiful place, beautiful venue. If ever you get the chance to go and see a gig or even perform there, I highly recommend it. David and Greg are two of the nicest guys. They really, you know, their heart is in the right place and heart and soul. They've put their heart and soul into that venue. A lot of hard work, licensing, and they've really battled as well during the COVID.
They decided to actually take on the venue during COVID. Dave had mentioned part of it during his interview that I did with him for the drummers. When I actually went to the venue, I went down to see the Fallen Saints. The next day I went to the venue and did the interview with Dave and Greg.
Di, remember you said to me, you asked me a question, is there a band you'd love to play with? Just mentioned the Fallen Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they something?
They're fabulous.
Aren't they a great band? They're like my study group. I love to watch them because they've taught me a lot about stage presence, tightness, keeping it together. Just incredible musicians. I haven't seen them with Stefan Hawke yet. But I look forward to seeing him with the Fallen Saints.
If you could only offer one tip to a brand new harmonica player, what would it be?
Practice every day for half an hour and don't give up.
Excellent. Who are your top three players?
My top three players is Ian Collard, Indiara Sfair, that's S-F-A-I-R, Josie Smith.
What about locally?
Ooh, me? No.
Why not?
Yeah, I can't think. Well, I know of a couple of guys. There's Dave over in Goolwa. He doesn't play in a band. He's pretty good. And then Tony Boss. Tony's a nice chap who, you know, he uses a lot of effect pedals. There's two I can think of. They're very good. But there's not many down here, not many locally down here. I really like, in Adelaide, I really, really like Will Calenderis' style, that old smoky blues, almost like C.W. Stone King had that. I heard him and I thought, wow, he sounds like a really good 1930s musician. And then I realised he's actually contemporary and he's got that really old-fashioned sound. Such a talented young man. We've seen him at the Gov. I really like his style. It's so much fun. I like that style. But Will Calenderis, he's with Harp and Will, Harp and Will K., and he plays at places in Adelaide. He works every weekend. He's got a gig in Adelaide. I first heard him at the Singing Gallery many years ago and I was enchanted by his playing. I think he's a very accomplished musician and we often chat on the phone and talk about what equipment we use and different pedals that he would use, and he's suggested different harmonicas for me to use. And, yeah, he's very encouraging as well for me because he's been around a lot longer on the music scene in Adelaide than I have. He's my go-to when I need extra technical advice especially. We inspire each other, which is great. Really good. He talks about lots of things, you know. He's got a very broad knowledge and lived experience of being a musician for sure.
If you could invite any musicians to play a concert with you anywhere in the world, who would you call and where would you play?
Oh, anywhere in the world. I would like our band to play at the Gov. Don't want to get too big, you know, because the higher you go, the bigger you fall. So I think I'm in a good place at the moment, and the band, we're pretty content with what we're doing at the moment. We don't have big goals. Three of us have retired and the other one, she's a youngster, so we don't have big ambition, I think. We just want to keep it at that fun level. Instead of going big and hard and play at the biggest venue and the best venue, the highest paid money, more about the fun we have and the enjoyment that we see on people's faces and the encores, and that's worth more than any money, really. That's the truth for me. Definitely my band, they're like family to me. We're all loyal to each other. We do it because we love it. We love what we do. The audience react and we love it. We just love playing for the audience.
Is there something that you've tried to play that you couldn't get right or you weren't satisfied with the way that you played it?
Yes, it's a work in progress, but one of the lead songs on our CD is called Hold On, and there's some single note calls that I do in that song. I keep putting it in the wrong place and I just have to keep practicing it. What I found helped me with that difficult block in the past was to write it down and have it in a picture form, like a mind map on a piece of paper, a big piece of paper. This is the end on introduction. This is where we're going with it. Here's the body of it. And knowing exactly, like anything, like writing a book, just have a plan for it. As a visual learner, a person who learns by ear, I've actually had to write it down in a block form. Musically, I just can't quite click into it and understand the rhythm. I think if it's in a picture form as well, while I'm playing along at rehearsal, I've got it in front of me and I don't miss it. And then it just becomes muscle memory. Practice every day, just a little bit every day, and don't be hard on yourself, really. And then once I've nailed it, the reward, you feel really good about it. But there's always room for improvement.
It's an ongoing learning process.
That's right. It's wonderful. It's the biggest gift I've ever been given, to be with the River Rats, to be able to share that with people and to see the looks on the people's faces. They love it. They love it.
Excellent. Okay, so you've got the River Rat.
Yes.
And I believe you've been doing something with your partner, Paul, as well.
So, yeah, we've been to a few open mics, or we went to one recently at Cape Jarvis Tavern on the way to Kangaroo Island. There's a little tavern on the left there. Well, they make the best Thai food in there and they've got this whole big venue and space, and a local muso came along and decided to start an open mic. Caitlin came with us. She's a really good guitarist from the band River Rats. Just plays very confidently. She's like a metronome. So we all played down at this open mic and everyone loved it. Then we had a few other people get up and play at that open mic. So not just the band. Yeah, there's always other little experiments and things we can do.
Excellent. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Hopefully not in an aged care facility. No.
But if you were, you'd be entertaining them, right?
That's right. Oh, definitely, definitely. It's very good for the mind, music. The next 10 years I see myself in pretty much the same position in good health, probably still with the River Rats, hopefully. It all depends on our health, our availability. As I said before, we have no great ambitions to play at the bigger gigs, although we do apply. Actually, I'd like to play up at Woodford. That'd be something, that the Woodford Folk Festival, but we're not really folk, so they'd probably just go, no, no thanks. But I think just playing a few local around Adelaide and South Australia gigs and being available for local people, not being out of reach of people's budgets as well. So keeping it a realistic budget, not getting too big for our boots, I think. I do understand that we could saturate the market as well. We would like to do support acts for bigger bands as well. Not so much being the headline act, but if people think of that we could do a headline act, absolutely, we would step up to the plate. I think one day at a time, and where we are at the moment, we're all comfortable with it. We don't want to be out of our comfort zone.
Excellent. What do you hope to have achieved before you do stop playing?
For me personally, more people to pick up the harmonica and more people to pick up an instrument and to play, to inspire people to either play or listen or use music to help them through life's ups and downs. The blues isn't always for the blues. Just to leave the legacy behind for people that can follow, can pick up and run with.
Fabulous.
The person who I have been buying my harmonicas from, my supplier, I wanted to mention him, Dane Clark from Mando Harp. He's on eBay. He is amazing. You can ring him anytime during the business hours and have a chat. He's in a band as well, more of a folk band. He imports harmonicas from Seidel in Germany. He imports from Lee Oscar harmonicas, and he also has Suzuki harmonicas, and the top quality. He really knows his stuff. So Dane Clark from Mando Harp, I'll give him a 10 stars out of 10. He's been a terrific support for me, and you don't feel like he's trying to sell you, sell you, sell you. He just wants you to sound the best you can.
Excellent. Before we end our chat today, I'm going to ask Karen 20 quick random questions, or as many as we can get through in the space of 2 minutes to close the interview. Are you ready, Karen?
I sure am.
Your time starts now. What was the first song that you learnt to play on the harmonica?
Comes a Time by Neil Young.
What was the first single that you purchased?
Pass.
Which microphone features a volume control knob at its base?
The Bullet.
Correct. Who is the patron saint of cats and cat lovers?
Isis? Not sure.
Saint Gertrude.
Oh!
Name a band you wish you'd seen perform live.
Could you repeat the question, please, Di?
Name a band you wish that you'd seen perform live.
Oh, Michael Franti and Spearhead.
What was the first concert that you went to?
Deep Purple in Perth.
What is the main philosophy of yoga?
Ahimsa. No harm.
The first album that you purchased?
It was Budgie.
What's the difference between a boogie board and a bodyboard?
Boogie board's made by Maury Boogie, and a bodyboard is made by anybody else.
What is the smallest harmonica called?
A little lady.
Correct. Name one thing that you cannot live without.
My harmonicas.
What was the last concert that you went to?
Can't remember. Pass.
Name the SA venue that is modelled on the Duke joints of Louisiana and New Orleans.
Oh. The Gov.
Murray Delta Juke Joint.
Oh.
Your number one bucket list item.
Oh, my God. Number one bucket list item?
We're out of time.
Oh, no. Oh,
thank
no.
you once again for joining me for the Bandit About podcast today. You've been great to chat to, and I hope that everyone who listens finds this as enjoyable as I did.
Thank you, Di. Thank you for having me. It's been amazing. Thank you.
My pleasure. All of the information and links relating to today's interview can be found in the show note. Mm-hmm. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please share the link with your friends. Until next week, it's goodbye from me, Di Spillane, Bandit About, proudly supporting live music. Bye.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye, darling.
Wildflower dancing in the rain, wildflower laughing through the pain, she's not the same as other girls. She soon became my only world. Wildflower, colors of the sky. Wildflower, lovers say goodbye. She'll always know how much I loved her. She'll always know how much I cared. Wildflower, my beautiful friend. Wildflower, time to bloom again, oh, once again.
That St. Gertrude was the patron saint?
Oh, wow. I only asked you that question because you shared something about that on your Facebook wall.
Oh, my God. I love my cat.
It's the same day as St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, cats. I got like 5 questions and that was it.
No, I think you might have got 6.
Oh. Oh, dear. Oh, see, all that information that's in there that just didn't know where to sort itself out.